depending on your age, when you grew up, you are familiar with the toys, the cartoons, or the movie Transformers, right? Transformers, more than what? Meets the eye, right? And the reason they were so cool is because they could be a vehicle that would transform into some kind of a robot that would shoot fire out their arm, you know? And it was just a very cool thing. Well, today when we talk about transformation, we're in the middle of a series called Imperfect Disciples, because anybody that wants to be a disciple, they're not going to be perfect. Can we all agree on that? Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. And so how do we follow the Savior? How do we follow God when we're living in this imperfect world? So today, what I want to talk to you about is, we talked about the beginning. We talked about whether you're a fan or a follower. And today, what I want to talk to you about is, what is transformation all about? We get it when it's for somebody else, but personally, what does that mean? So today, what I'll do is I'll share a few things about transformation and how we can apply that to our life so that we can become better from the inside out, because that's the goal. So the goal is always to be able to become, have that change, become healthier from the inside and let it bleed out into who we are, what we do. So discipleship, a few weeks ago, we talked about is the process of the local church that seeks to bring the Christian from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. That's discipleship. And God's goal for the church is to be a place that we can become discipled and then make a disciple who makes a disciple who makes a disciple. That's the goal of the church. So everyone here should be being discipled or being a disciple maker, or maybe a combination of the two, because God never created the church for people to just come sit, soak, and sour, right? That's not why he created the church. He created the church so that we could get into this process of discovering our walk with Christ, that we can become transformed from the inside out. So the goal in life is basically that, spiritual transformation. That's what he desires. That's what he seeks. Now, when I was younger, TV, obviously we had TV, but you only had like three channels, channel 4, 6, and 8, and that was about it. When channel 18 showed up, I was ecstatic, you know, because that was just another channel. But now today, we have so many television channels, so many television shows, but still really nothing to watch, you know what I mean? There's some good shows out there, don't get me wrong. But one of the shows that I recognize that has been trending for years now is reality shows. Anyone ever watch those? It could be anything from Survivor to, you know, Extreme Makeover. And in this particular show called Extreme Makeovers, what happens is this. People are dissatisfied with the way that they look. So they go to some professional that's going to make them over, right? It's going to take them from where they're at into this place where they as a professional think that they should be. And what's amazing is sometimes when you see these makeover places, the before and after pictures are astounding, you know? They don't look the same. They don't even look like them. They look like somebody completely different. But that's why they call it extreme makeover. You've got extreme makeovers that deal with clothing, that deal with makeup, that deal with houses, flipping the houses. There's so many different things. What's the goal in those shows? Well, it's to take something that's brand new, that looks brand new, and kind of update it and flip it. It was broken once, and now all of a sudden they're going to redo it. They're going to fix it up. Well, in those extreme shows, that's exactly what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. When they get broken, when they get shattered, when things start to crumble and fall apart, Jesus wants to come in and not just bring wholeness and healing, but he wants to do an extreme makeover, and it's called discipleship. He wants to transform your heart. He wants to transform your life. So it doesn't matter if you've been walking with the Lord for 5 minutes, 5 months, 5 decades. He's always looking to transform our hearts and our lives, because the goal is that God's children would experience spiritual transformation. So I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's just a couple verses, maybe six, that I want to read here, starting at verse 12. And I want to draw out of this what Jesus has to say about transformation. It says, "Therefore, since we have such hope, We use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom, some translations say. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the first three verses of Corinthians is he's talking to the people and he's pointing out and showing, he says, these believers are proof of the ministry because their lives were this way and they've now been transformed. He says, you can see that happening in our lives. And if our lives, by the way, if they're not being changed, let's say in this church, if our lives are not being changed in this church, then we really have no ministry because the goal of the church is to transform lives, not just to have nice carpet and nice pews, right? Now, it's okay that we have nice carpet and pews. I'm not dogging that at all. I'm just saying let's not lose sight of what the goal is. It says that unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end, there was a veil. And then in verse 14, it says, their minds were blinded, for until this day, that same veil remains unlifted. What he's pointing out there is this. He's reciting something that took place in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, something happened there, and it was Moses. He would climb up the mountain to get into the presence of God. And whenever he was in the presence of God, his face would change. Do you remember that? It said his face would glow. There was a transformation, something that was happening because of him being in the presence of God. So there was something physical that happened, visible that happened, and that's what he's pointing out there. But then Moses would go down the mountain after he spent time with the Lord, and the glow would fade. The further he got from God, the more the glow would leave. The closer he was to God, the more the glow would show. It was apparent. So where he was in proximity to God would determine the change that would take place in his life. It would take place upon his face. And Paul uses that story in the Old Testament, that incident with Moses, to talk about a New Testament transformation that he wants for you and for me in our lives today. He wants us to experience this. He said in verses 17 and 18 that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, or there is freedom, is another translation. And then it goes on and says, but we all, three important words, but we all, say it with me, but we all. In other words, he says, I'm setting you all up right now. He says, we all with unveiled faces. What it means is this. He says, I'm about to tell you something, and you are not an exception. Whatever I'm getting ready to tell you, the author says, based upon what Paul is saying here, he said, applies to you no matter who you are. So as we read this today, he's saying, but you all, myself included. This is for all of us. He said, the transformation of God wants to make us. It applies to all of us. And we all get it the same way. It's by being in the presence of God. But we all. He says, this is for all y'all. Right? He says, this is for every one of us. So whatever he says, I'm getting ready to tell you, applies to you. Transformation. We are being transformed. The Greek word transformed is where we get the word metamorphosis, or that's where we get the word transformed from. And it applies to a change that's taking place from the inside out. That's what it's all about. Change that happens inside, then it affects the outside. See, in extreme makeovers, you know what they're doing? They're trying to fix the outside because they're unhappy with what they see or they're experiencing, and they hope that if they change this out here, I'll feel better in here. But what really needs to happen is we need to let the transformation start here in our walk with Christ. And then out of that, the blessings flow. The joy comes because we're simply in the presence of God. So that's transformation. But let me give you a couple things that transformation is not. And you can write this in your outlines. Transformation is not accumulation of information. Okay? Well, why are you telling me, Pastor, what it's not? Because a lot of times we get confused. And we think that if we know more and we have all of the answers, then we're better than everybody else. And let me just tell you this. There's a way ton of people that are way smarter than me. And I'm fine with that. But you see, transformation isn't about how much you know. It's not about the information only. It does include that. It does involve that. But it's not merely an accumulation of information. You can come to church from now till the cows come home and not be transformed, right? It's possible. It could happen. Because it's not about the information that we receive. It's about being transformed. So you can have information without changing. That's my point. Here's another thing that transformation is not. It's not simply conforming. It involves that, but transformation is not just simply conforming to what God, you know, doing what I'm told. It's not simply conforming my behavioral modification. Many of us want to change what we do, but we really can't experience that change on a deep level without transformation. It does require, yes, you got to know some stuff. Yes, you got to conform, but it's not just those two things. Because you can respond outwardly while inwardly be rebelling. You know what I mean? Do you agree with that? Think of it this way. My son and my daughter had chores while they were growing up. My daughter had to do the dishes. My son had to take the trash out. Neither of them liked their chores. I don't know any kid that likes any chore. But my son, he fought it one day, and he's like, I don't want to go out there. I'm like, Seth, you need to go take the garbage up to the road. I don't want to. I said, I'm sorry. I don't think I asked you what you thought or felt about it. I told you to go take it out. Oh, I'll get it in a minute. I probably let a minute go by, Seth. It's been a minute. Oh. And he'd stomp outside. He'd get the stupid garbage can. He'd march it up the stairs. He'd march it up the driveway. He'd take it to the road. He came in. And what happened through that whole process was outwardly, he was conforming to my will and what I told him to do. But on the inside, he was rebelling because he didn't want to do it. He did what was necessary, minimum amount required. And his heart was far from wanting to please me. And we've got to be careful, otherwise we can find ourselves just trying to do the minimum amount when really he's looking to transform our lives. You see, there has to be a change, not just conformity. And many of us conform without being transformed. Transform means to be changed from the inside out. It's an internal change of the soul that works itself out into the body. And Paul says, you and I, but we all, are being transformed. We're being transformed. God wants to see every Christian transformed. Well, I thought once I became a Christian, we were done. No, you continue to grow. When you have a baby and it's only this big, does it remain this big? No, it continues to grow. So it is in our spiritual walk that we continue to grow. And there's a transformation that takes place. Now, the best example I can think of is a caterpillar. Forgive me if I call it a calipitter. We used to call it that with our kids, and I always get it messed up now. But a caterpillar. Caterpillars really aren't that amazing to me. This is my opinion. You may love them. You may have a tattoo of them. I don't know. Okay, and if you do, good for you. But they're really not that impressive. They're not that amazing. They're really slow. They don't do much. But then all of a sudden, when they get in a cocoon, there's something that happens that transforms them, and they become the butterfly. And that which was slow and unable to get around now becomes colorful, vibrant, beautiful, and is able to fly and soar to new heights. What got the caterpillar to that place? It was transformation. It was allowing a work to be done on the inside that affected the out. Michael's mother and father were here this morning, and she made a comment that was pretty insightful, and she said, you know what? In that cocoon is when you're the most vulnerable, but also the most protected. Think about that. When you're allowing Christ to cocoon around you, you're in the, yes, most vulnerable place, but also in the most protected place you could ever be. And that's the transforming work that Christ wants to do in our life. You see, once you experience what God has for you, this chump change stuff isn't gonna do. You're gonna want the best that God has for you, right? We're always gonna want that and desire that. And then he says, you are being transformed. Now, verse 18, you are being transformed. Notice what it did not say. It didn't say, you are transforming. He said, you are being transformed. Something else is transforming you. You don't transform yourself. He says, that's something that I do. So you are being transformed. Let me take some weight off of your shoulders right now, if it is indeed there. You don't have to transform yourself. You have to be transformed. You let Christ do that work in your life. That means that something else is changing you. And sometimes we've been guilty of trying to be our own savior and change ourselves. That's not transforming work. That's extreme makeover. And we have to let him do his work. You see, something else, when transformation takes place, something else is doing a number on you. Something else is creating that transformation. And you are being transformed. You know, when Moses went up the mountain, it changed him. There was a glow, remember, on his face. God brought about that glow, but Moses still had to climb the mountain. Remember that? He didn't float up there. He didn't get an escalator built in. He didn't get to fly. None of that. He still had to climb the mountain, which it's telling me that if you want the transformation that Christ has for you, there's a part that we play and we must do it, but it's he that transforms us. So what is our position, or what is it that we're supposed to do? Your next bullet, write this down. We must position ourselves for transformation. You must position yourself. And maybe I'll say this, position yourself wisely. Is there any water skiers? Anyone here like to water ski? Go out in the Mississippi, maybe did it in the ocean, something like that. Anybody? Tubing, you know, you have a boat pull you around. Yeah, that's more of an Iowa thing there. Let me just use the water skier for this analogy, because if a water skier, I guess, you know, inner tube, that would apply as well. But if you want to successfully water ski, you must position yourself behind the boat that's going to pull you. Does that make sense? I mean, we're like, duh. That's what water skiing is. If I get in the Mississippi, first of all, shoot me, because something's wrong, okay? I don't want to get in the Mississippi. But if I got water skis on and I got my little floaty and my little rubber ducky things and all that stuff, and I'm sitting in there and I've got the rope, but there's no boat in sight, I'm going to look pretty goofy, aren't I? People are going to look at me and say, what is that man doing? There's going to be welfare checks going on like crazy. Some guy's in the Mississippi. But if a boat was in front of me, people would look at me and go, oh, he's water skiing. You see, a water skier is only a water skier because of the power of the boat that pulls him through the river. And when it comes to being a disciple of Christ, the transformative work that he does, he can only do when you and I position ourselves correctly. And that's in the presence of God. Lord, what's your will? What's your way? What do you have for me? And then you position yourself there. Now you're water skiing. Now you're able to move through all the choppy waters that this world has to throw at us. And God wants to take us to some places, but unless we position ourselves, we'll stay stuck in the same seat over and over and over again. We'll stay stuck feeling like we always have these same problems or these defeats or these addictions, and we don't go anywhere. We're not being transformed. But we all, the scripture says, all of us, but we all. So you and I are no exception. He says, I'm calling you to be a Christian, but to be a disciple that follows me, and allow me to transform your life. See, what he wants to do is transform us so that we become more like the image of God. Some people say, what's he want going to transform me into? Well, he tells us in the scripture, into his image. Christian means Christ-like, you know, kind of to be like Christ, look like Christ. He says, my goal is that when people see you, they go, I think I see a little Jesus in there. You know, you don't have to be Jesus, but when they see you, kind of like in your family, how DNA runs. I'm going to show you a picture. Go ahead and throw that up there. This is, one of them is me, and one of them is my son. And when you look at them, you see some similarities. I mean, we're both good-looking, attractive, handsome, adorable, right? I mean, come on. But I'm on the left, my son's on the right. And here's the, it's not creepy, what's the best? Here's the weird thing. I did this first service and I said, do you see how we're different, but yet we're similar? And when I looked at Seth's picture, I went, oh my gosh. Many of you know that we became grandparents just 3 months ago. My son, that picture right there, looks just like my granddaughter when I look at it. And that's my opinion. And if you don't agree, it's okay. It's mine, you know, my opinion. When I look at it, I say, oh, I see similarities. And we get that because DNA runs through the family line. That's why we'll look at our daughter, Charlotte, and I'll be like, oh, that looks just like Drea. I see Drea there. And then 2 minutes later, I'll be like, wait, now I see Ben. Now I see Drea. Now I see Ben. Now, and you see all these similarities. What God wants to know when it comes to discipleship and when it comes to transformation is when people look at you, do they see him at all in the family tree? You don't have to be Christ, but when they see you, do they see Christ at all? Do they go, I see it. I see the similarities. I hear it in the voice, in the way that you serve and in the way that you give, because those two pictures, the one on the left is 1970 or 71, and I got some weird 1970s couch going on behind me there. I don't know what that's all about. But then decades, two decades later, so whatever, there's my son. And we look similar, but there's this huge gap of time. And what bridges that is he was created to some degree in my image, because that's how it works. Christ says, when I transform your life, I want to transform you into my image. The goal of discipleship is always going to be spiritual transformation in our life. Taking what it once was and let it become something new that God has for you. Anybody here, popcorn eaters? Any popcorn fans? Okay. Who chooses movie theater popcorn over microwave? Okay. Who chooses microwave? If you're like us, when we go to the movie, we always choose movie theater, and then we wish 10 minutes after we ate it that we didn't. You know, oh my gosh, it affects your stomach. But when you make popcorn and you stick it in the microwave, what happens is this. I can't stand when I make popcorn and I'm eating it, and all of a sudden I get an unpopped kernel of corn, and you don't see it coming. Bam, oh, you bite down on that, hurts your teeth. And I don't eat popcorn much anymore because it all gets caught in my teeth. I don't like it, but when you do make it, what's happening is this. There is, when you take a kernel of corn, popcorn, and you put it in the right environment, the microwave, and you hit the power button, what happens is inside of that popcorn seed, something starts to happen. There's within that kernel of corn, those microwaves create moisture. The moisture turns to steam. The steam starts to press against the outer shell until all of a sudden you have a piece of popcorn. When it comes to transformation, there's going to be times when all of a sudden you feel like there's so much pressure on and I'm not used to this and I don't know if I can trust God to lead me this way or that way. When you say yes to him, he's putting you in an environment where you can and be all that God called you to be. How many of you know that being a Christian doesn't mean that you don't have any problems? You never face any more pain or suffering. No. You still have to, sometimes it's even worse. Because now you got a bullseye on your back. But God wants to give you and I an experience of transformation with him. So there can be an expansion, just like a popcorn seed pops. It's bigger, 2, maybe 3 times bigger than what it once was. When we experience transformation, we experience the expansion of the kingdom of God in our life. We experience his blessings, yes. But we experience him relationally on a whole new level. And God wants to give that experience to you and to me. See, spiritual transformation is when you and I are being developed in the presence of Jesus in our very life, in our soul. And our soul is where it's our mind, our will, and our emotions. And it's being transformed there so that it breaks through and it expresses itself in our mortal bodies. We experience that transformative work. See, that's what God is after. He wants spiritual transformation in our lives. I say this a lot, but if you give me the fingers of Mozart, there's no tune I cannot play. If you give me the legs and the feet of Michael Jordan, there is no basketball. I cannot dunk. If you give me the mind of Einstein, there's no mathematical formula that I cannot solve. Because if you take who they are and put them in me, I can now do those things, not because of me, but because of who is in me. What's my point? If you give me the life of Jesus Christ, there is no victory I cannot achieve because his life is expressing itself in me and through my life. See, that's the goal of spiritual transformation. The question on the floor today for you and for me is this: who wants to be changed? Do you want to be changed? Most people don't like change. I mean, let's just be honest about it. I don't want to change unless I know what it is that has to change and I'm in agreement with the fact that it's changing. Or if it's you, if you're changing, fine, I'm good with that, but don't let it mess with me. But what Jesus is trying to get to is he's saying that transformation will bring you to a whole nother level. But we all shall be transformed. How? How do I get changed, especially if I'm not the one doing it? Well, we have to position ourselves, as we said, but know this too, and you can write this down. If you want to be changed from the inside out, you're going to need a mirror. You're going to need a mirror. What do you mean by that? Verse 18 says, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, when I left the house today, I washed my hair, I got dressed, and I walked by the mirror and I glanced in it. That's a glance. But he says, how many of you ever caught the other spouse beholding themselves in front of the mirror? Right? Checking out there, doing all that. Yeah, they're beholding. They're looking in the mirror, and the mirror is reflecting back to them what reality is really like. The mirror doesn't lie. The mirror tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so it reflects back to you. And Jesus says, if you want true transformation in your life, you're going to need a mirror, and the mirror is the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you think you look like Matthew McConaughey, George Clooney, or Channing Tatum. The mirror is going to tell you the truth. You may think, ladies, you're Mariah Carey, Jennifer Aniston, or I don't know, Taylor Swift. But the mirror is going to tell you the truth, right? It's going to reflect back to you. A mirror will bring you back to reality and tell you how it really is. It's a point of reference. So you may think that everything's looking fine, but when you look in the mirror, have you ever done that? You think everything's fine, and then later you realize you had something on your face, and it had been there all day long. Nobody told you about it. They just laughed at you. And then you realized it because you looked in the mirror. The Word of God says that you and I are to behold. To just be patient, be present in the presence of the Lord, and you use that moment. See, the mirror, I don't go to the gym, all right? But I have a membership. Anyone else out there? Yeah, I got a membership, but I have not been to the gym in a really long time. It's been that long. But what I like when I go to the gym is Lisa and I'll go, and I go to the back, and I do either the treadmill or the bike. And I'll pop my earbuds in, and what I love is not the exercise. It's watching everybody else up in front where all the mirrors are at. The wall is filled with mirrors. You know why? Because people like to behold, right? And when I watch these guys and gals, they'll pick up the weights, and they don't look around talking to people. They look in the mirror. Yeah. They start turning sideways. And they're grinning. They're smiling like somebody's cheering them on, but nobody's there, you know? But they're beholding. That's what it means to behold. He's saying, let that be the Word of God. Get into the presence of God and let him transform you. And it's the mirror that's going to tell you what it is that you need to know. Moses went up the mountain, and it affected him. It changed him. When he got away from the presence of God, it faded. It's the same with you and me. Not just about church attendance. It's about being in the presence of God and saying, Lord, what do you have for me? In the scripture we read, 2 Corinthians, it said that there was a veil that was between them and God. They don't do this anymore, really. I've not seen this, but a lot of times what would happen, maybe when I was a kid in the 70s or something. It's been a long time since I've seen a wedding where the bride is wearing a veil. Let me say that. But what they would do is the husband will be standing up here, the wife would be walking down the aisle, and she would have a veil over her face, and she'd come up, and they would say, "I do, I do. You may kiss the bride." The next step was to lift the veil. Because what was about to take place when he kissed the bride was that there was about to be a covenant that was made, a point of union that was taking place. And he says that when you come to Christ and let him transform your life, it's the same as him lifting the veil and saying, "I'm entering into covenant with you today." But we all, with unveiled face, the word of God is very clear that it's Christ who's the one that removes the veil. Not you, not anybody else. And he calls you and me to this place where we use the word of God as a mirror to reflect back to us. There was a group of missionaries that went to a tribe. I don't know the tribe, I don't know the name, but they had never seen a mirror. And they had never seen themselves because there was no mirror. You know, they can see their feet, their hands, but they couldn't really see themselves. You can't see yourself. You know, you can see your hand, but you know, your eye can't look down there and see what's going on your chin. It just doesn't work that way. They had never seen a mirror. So this missionary took the mirror, he hung it on a tree, kind of mounted it up there somehow, and one of the ladies went up there and looked in the mirror. And when she saw herself in the mirror for the first time, she took the mirror and smashed it because she did not like what she saw. What's my point? When you go to God's word with an unveiled face, you're not always going to like everything you see. Because what God wants to do is expose you the way that he sees you. Now, don't lose me right here, because this is where we tend to go, "Oh, I'm out." So just hang with me for a minute. God's word will reveal, God's words, his desire is to expose you so that you can see how God sees you. And sometimes it's not going to look pretty. You guys have been around long enough and have heard me preach and have heard my stories that I was not perfect. I mess up. I make mistakes. I made them in the past. I still make them today. But I have to figure out how to navigate that. And it's when I get into the presence of God. There's those moments where the Holy Spirit goes, "Jim, that wasn't smart." Really? And I have to make changes in my life. You see, he wants to expose you to you, and he sees you because he's the only one that can lift that veil, that can show you and me. Because the reality is most of the time we feel like a caterpillar. But the reality is, Jesus says, you're a butterfly. You are a multicolored, beautiful, having the ability to go places that the caterpillar can't. The potential is there, but you won't see it until you come into my presence. And by the way, when you come into my presence, Jesus would say, you may not like everything you see, but everything I show you has a purpose. And everything I show you because I trust you to do something with it. I trust you to surrender that to me. And then I can bring the healing and the wholeness. You see, that's what the mirror, the word of God does, is it reveals those things to us so we can see them. And then we can become transformed. That's the, excuse me, that's the goal of transformation. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He whom the Son, the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. That means sure enough. Take it to the bank. You can count on it. I won't let you down. But we have to let the Holy Spirit do that work and transform our lives. Let me close with this. What God wants us to do in this short time that I've been talking, maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to you, but now you got to do something with it. You know, just hearing is one thing, but you need to let it become something. If the Holy Spirit spoke to you, let it become something that's part of you. We're going to leave here in a minute. Some of you are going to go to restaurants, right? When you go to the restaurants and you get there, what they're going to do is they're going to hand you a menu. And the menu is going to tell you what it is that they have to offer. They're going to seat you. You're going to read the menu. And you can salivate over the menu. You can read the menu all afternoon, but nothing fills you until you do something and place your order. And nothing changes and fills that void until you consume the food that you went there to eat. It would be ridiculous to go to a restaurant, sit down and say, hey, what are your specials of the day? What is the soup du jour? And they tell you, and then you say, that sounds really nice. And you stand up, leave a tip on the table, and walk out. That would be ridiculous. None of us would do that. And so I don't want you to leave here today. Say, man, I heard the menu. It sounded pretty neat, you know. But are you just going to give God a tip and go home? Or are you going to say, Lord, I want to be transformed? You don't have to be afraid of transformation. It's a big word, but it's not something you need to worry about. It's not even something that you do. It's done to you. And that happens when you surrender to Christ. So here's how I want to close. Would you just close your eyes with me? And I want to pray for you. But if you're here today and the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart, saying something to you, he's doing that for a reason. And you need to listen to that. Maybe you're here today and he's calling you to a place of surrender. I'm going to pray. And you know you the best. You know what's going on. But there's one that knows you better, and it's Jesus. I'm going to ask if you just allow the Holy Spirit to continue to reveal to you those areas where maybe he's calling you to surrender. Maybe it's areas where you stepped in something you shouldn't have stepped in, and you're trying to figure out how to get out. Maybe you're here today, and your family's, you just say, I don't know what to do next. Maybe it's a business decision you're trying to make. I don't know, but I do know one who knows greater than you and I. That's the Holy Spirit. If that's you, would you just invite him in as I pray for you and say, Jesus, I ask today that for each and every person that is here, for each and every person that is watching at home, that, Lord God, you would speak to their hearts. And, Lord God, that which you're revealing in their lives, you're revealing for a reason. It's because you want to bring transformation into their lives. So, Father, we come to you today and say, Lord, we surrender. Lord, we don't want to just settle for just, you know, going to church. We want to be the church. We don't want to just, you know, try to give you some props. Lord, we're asking you to change our heart, oh God. Bring healing into our lives. So Jesus, as we do that, would you just reveal yourself to us, just like we talked about, with the Word of God being a mirror? Sometimes I admit, I'm afraid to look in the mirror because I'm afraid of what I might see. So Jesus, would you be gentle, but would you speak to us the truth? The whole truth, and nothing but that truth. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen, church.
Amen. Yeah.